The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. We're continuing our conversation on attention deficit hyperactive disorder with Jennifer Campfy. After her sons were diagnosed with ADHD, Jennifer decided to become a certified ADHD coach by completing the basic, advanced, and family coach training programs at the ADHD Coach Academy. In 2017, Jennifer opened her coaching business, Fantastically Focused. Jennifer works with adults, parents, and students with ADHD. Today, we're going to discuss strategies to use to manage ADHD. So we're going to talk a little bit about the strategies, talking about combined forces. So what are some of the strategies parents can do at home?
Yes. So my first and foremost suggestion would be to learn as much as you can about ADHD. Kind of like how you and I did, just be that sponge, just read. And I have some good sources for parents. So there is a magazine called Attitude Magazine. So it's yes. ADD. Okay. You've heard of it. So Attitude Magazine. There's a website that is just attitudemag.com. Mm-hmm. This is an excellent, excellent source, for very relatable, articles for parents, for adults, for anybody with ADHD. So I'd really recommend that. And two, be leery, because there's a lot of information out there on ADHD and a lot of it can be false. So there are three people that I would recommend that anything you see by these people, you can trust. So one is Dr. Russell Barkley. Second is Dr. Ned Halliwell. And third is Dr. Thomas Brown. Those are three very well-known names in the ADHD community. Anything you see by them, you know, you can trust. So first and foremost, learn as much as you can about ADHD. The second is, and some people are going to balk at this, but the second is to lower your expectations of your child.
Yes.
And not to compare them to their peers. And let me tell you, that's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. Even as an ADHD coach, I would catch myself, look at his friend. Why can't he do that? And I'd catch myself and I'd have to remind myself, nope, you can't compare. So to understand that your child is going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 years behind his peers in many of the executive functions, as well as maturity, both emotionally and mentally. So when you look at your child's age, subtract 3 to 5 years. And then that's what I mean by lower your expectations. So take 3 to 5 years off, and that's what you should be expecting of your child.
Mm-hmm. So, I would agree with that. Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, just so you all know, I will put all of this information of resources in the show notes.
Perfect.
But yes, I agree with the lower your expectations. I remember, since my daughter was high functioning, you know, she would be on the honor roll and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But when my son, when he got on a roll, we just flipped our lids. We just
My son's never been on the honor roll.
Yeah, it happened one time, and we're like, wow, this is, and even with our daughter though, we was like, this is like, it wasn't like how a lot of other people are like, oh, well, yeah, this is what they do. We were just so excited because mm-hmm. we're like, we know the effort that they had to put in to get yes. there. And so we were just like, you know, for us, we did not take that for granted. We were like, yes. You really worked hard for this. Mm-hmm. And we wanted them to know we know you worked hard and this did not come easy. So, no, yes, I agree.
And let me tell you, you're blessed that you had kids with ADHD that made the honor roll, because that isn't very common, mm-hmm. actually. They are usually they usually function below their intelligence mm-hmm. because of the delay in their executive functions.
I do see that in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And then I also see it when you said about with my daughter in particular, the emotional, the youth in her. She's 19 mm-hmm. and she's a sophomore in college, but she is still very sensitive. And mm-hmm. so we have to understand that, you know, like, okay, you know, she's not like the 19-year-old sophomore in college who doesn't have ADHD. And yeah. so, you know, certain allowances we have to give her, mm-hmm. we have to be sensitive to her, you know, the way she expresses herself yeah. at certain times. And so, yes, mm-hmm. it does take a different way, because I know how I was at 19 and I was doing a lot more mm-hmm. Things than she's doing as far as responsibility wise. And so I do get that. Thank you for sharing that.
So one thing that I would say the most important thing for parents to do is routine. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the big things that I work with my clients and with parents is routine. That is the absolute biggest thing, because they don't have that internal structure inside, right? So we need to put the external structure in place to provide them with that structure. So so some examples are morning and evening routine. And so what I mean by that is that it typically starts at the same time and you go through the exact same steps. And if you stop and think about it, we all have routines, right? There are things that we, whether we realize it or not, you know, like when we go to bed at night, we wash our face, we brush our teeth, we put on our PJs. That's a routine, right? So you need to make sure that you have that type of routine for the child with ADHD. So they know that when I do this, the next thing I do is this, right? And a really cool thing is to use music, especially for kids who can't keep track of things, like create a playlist, like a morning playlist. So like they know at the end of this song, I need to be putting on my shoes and get ready to head out the door. Or this is the song that I brush my teeth to, you know, things like that. That's just kind of a fun thing to do.
That's genius.
Yeah. And the same thing with evening routine, you know, we start our bath at this time, you know, then we put our PJs on and we brush our teeth and we read a book. For students who are older, having a homework routine, you know, this is the time if it can be a certain time of day. I know kids are involved in so many activities, so it can, when they get older, it can be hard to do that. But, you know, saying I start my homework at 4 o'clock, I do my homework at the kitchen table or somewhere where parents can kind of keep an eye on what's going on. You know, and I even create checklists for my students, especially now that all of their stuff seems to be online. And they have so many different places that they have to go. Teachers are posting things in different, you know, different sites, and it taxes their executive functions. So even creating a checklist of, I log into Google Classroom, or, you know, I check English, I check math, you know, then I log on to here. So checklist can be really important. Mm-hmm. And that's a form of a routine. And then after I do my homework, I pack up my backpack, right? And then I put my backpack by the door. So just those little things so that this less that they have to think about, it kind of takes the stress off of that working memory that you talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say routine is the biggest thing. And then the other thing I would say is to talk to your child. Open up the conversation, tell them that you see what they're struggling with, and do it, you know, maybe go out for coffee, or, you know, do it while you're playing basketball with your kid. If they like basketball, go out and shoot hoops or something. It's going to be hard to sit down and talk one-on-one because most kids aren't as comfortable with that. So do something with the kid, talk to them, you know, say, you know, I see that you're struggling with, you know, getting your homework done. What can I do to help you? And they may say, I don't know, because they may really not know, but you've opened up the conversation, and maybe you can say, well, you know, could I offer some suggestions? You know, just open up that conversation, let them know that you know you're struggling and that you care and that you want to help them. Because if you can work together to come up with strategies and they can get involved, they're more likely to use them.
Yes. Yeah. So, those are good. And then as a coach for parents who may need extra support, what strategies do you use with your clients? Have you ever had like a client? Well, I guess you do if you have younger clients. And so mom and dad mm-hmm. and the client is there and you're kind of talking to both of them. Mm-hmm. But why don't you tell us like what a session would look like or what your strategies are for parents who need extra support?
Sure. So coaching is different in that it is so personalized to the individual client. So I have a bag of tools, right? But not every tool is going to work for every person. So it's very much personalized into what they are struggling with. So I do work a lot with establishing routines with parents and their child, because that's one of the biggest things that they need, because the kid's struggling, which in turn makes the parent struggle, right? So if there's not a morning routine in place, I actually am working with a client and their mom right now who there was no morning routine in place. And so they were constantly getting late to school and running behind, which was causing major anxiety in this girl, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that anxiety would lead to this. It was like this snowball effect. And she would get so worked up that she was actually not able to go to school because she was so overwhelmed. So literally just sitting down and explaining to both the mom and the child, this is why you're having this anxiety. You know, what can we put in place? Walk me through your morning. What does your morning look like? You know, why do you think that why are you getting up late? What's going on there? And a really cool little technique for that is to buy one of these alarm clocks that not only is super loud, but it has a bed shaker, this vibrating little disc that you can put under the mattress and it literally shakes the bed.
I think I'm going to have to get one of those.
No, I need one.
Yeah. Well, my daughter, she can sleep through her alarm and so she has two alarms. She has she uses her phone as her alarm. And then she has another old school. We bought her an old school clock, you know, from back in the day.
The one that dings, the ringer. Yes. Those work too.
Yeah. And then we bought her one that it has like a circle light and it's brighter and brighter and brighter the closer to the time to wake up. So we had to come up with some strategies for her too for the wake up, because she can sleep right through the music means nothing. It becomes part of her dream.
Yes. And see, that's where every client's different, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just, you know, one strategy, like one alarm clock may not work for one kid and you have to try something else, right?
Right.
So that's just an example. And this mom is like, yeah, this alarm clock actually wakes up her brother. So it's just like, we're getting two for one. It's so loud. It just wakes up the whole house.
That is funny.
So, yeah. So, and I just work a lot with parents just understanding what ADHD is so that they can have compassion and patience, right? Because it's so hard. It's so hard to have patience. I mean, as much as I know about ADHD, I still just, you know, we can't, and you can understand this, Sabrina, we're not inside their brains. Right. We don't experience it. Right. And so sometimes even as much as I know, I still have to catch myself because I'll get frustrated, right? I'm human. And sometimes I'll just lose it and I'll have to go back and apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry that I just exploded or I just said that, because I know it's not your fault. I know you're struggling and I'm sorry.
Right. That's good. Yeah, this was very, very good information. I thank you so much for using your experience to help others. You had to go through something yourself, and through that, you were given a gift to help other people. Well, I think I'm going to be using your services for my daughter, because you had some special I saw for a call, and I told her about the special. I was like, maybe you should do that, you know, because her next semester is coming up for college. Yeah. So yeah, we'll be checking out your website.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you give us your website address so that people who are interested and they can learn more about your services.
Sure. It is just www.fantasticallyfocused.com.
Yes, so. And I will put that also in the show notes.
So, and I just want to say too, Rabrina, that I love how you are, this is gospel-centered. And so I want to say that I love that, and also say that I do feel like God prepared me for what I'm doing now.
Yes.
The things that I went through with my oldest son and how mm-hmm. hard that was, mm-hmm. that God used that to prepare me to help my youngest son and then to help other people.
Mm.
So
that's good. Yeah. There's a saying that God can take your mess and turn it into your ministry.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. I haven't heard that one, but I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for taking the time to provide us with this information, to guide us and encourage us, and to show us how we can encourage our children also. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said to show them compassion. Mm-hmm. And then also be compassionate with yourself too, Mom, because you're doing the best you can.
Absolutely.
And just know that you are both on a journey, and it is not someplace you've been before. So you're both learning. And so just give yourself compassion for that also. Everything that Jennifer mentioned, the doctors, the Attitude Mag, and her website, Fantastically Focused, will be in the show notes. Mama, you just remember that God is for you and you're not alone. And with His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.